You're listening to the Nerd to Know Media Network. Join us at nerdtoknowmedia.com.
Broadcasting from the Blanchistan Center, this is Phoenix FM.
This is 92.5 Phoenix FM, community radio for Dublin 15.
Hey everybody, it's JB Jeremy Borash, and you are listening to Darrow O'Connor on the...
Welcome to the Wrestling Rewind. The only wrestling podcast by fans who don't hate wrestling.
Hello, folks, and welcome to the Wrestling Rewind. My name is Darrow O'Connor, and you're listening to the only wrestling podcast by wrestling fans who don't hate wrestling. We're back to talk about the Undertaker's WrestleMania streak. It is, of course, if you're listening to this, like the week, 2 weeks before WrestleMania. Actually, I think it's 2 weeks before WrestleMania. We'll do like a special show, WrestleMania focused, next week. I just don't know what that actually is because I'll be away. So we'll put something together and then we'll have our WrestleMania coverage the week after, because obviously I'll be there, Dave will be there, and we'll have the three-man booth again. And then after that, we'll probably get onto our timeline and finally finish the In Your House arc. Martin, if we ever get a chance to do that.
One of these decades.
But yeah, so that's what's happening now, guys. If there's anything you want to have us cover, the best way to do it is go to our social media, which is actually being used now, thanks to Martin mainly. You can go over to thewrestlingrewind.com. It has the links to our email, to our social media, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, all that kind of good stuff. And our Patreon is there as well. If there's a podcast you want us to review, if there's a pay-per-view you want us to review, if there's like, anything. And the reason why I say podcast is because The Undertaker has a podcast now. And that deeply disturbs me, Martin, that The Undertaker is talking about random nonsense.
It's an e-girl.
He's an e-girl now. It's so bizarre.
WWE girl.
And I don't want to watch it. So if someone's like, hey, can you review an episode of it? Then I have an excuse. But I'm not going to be like, I'm not going to like kayfabe destroy The Undertaker for me for no reason. I can't believe that he's just an e-girl now. It's
devastating. I remember the
it's so devastating.
I saw a documentary on Slipknot, and it absolutely, like, in my head that was them 24/7, just a bunch of lunatics in masks running around making loud music and vomiting on, you know, huffing jars full of dead birds and whatever else, and then like, you know, oh yeah, I'm a Corey and I'm sitting in the corner before the gig. Like, this is my poetry, man. I'm like, oh, for God's sake, get that out of here.
You're a phony.
It's just, I don't want to see it. I don't want to know. Yeah. You don't want to see The Undertaker in the post office. Like,
it's... No. Obviously he's a man who lives his life and he's entitled to do so, but
That's Mark Calloway. No interest in meeting Mark Calloway.
That's true. Either do I. You know, and it's just kind of like, I know at WrestleMania he's doing like a wooden eye only thing and tickets are like €1 million or something. I'm like, oh my God, no way. No, they're not, obviously not that expensive, but they are quite pricey. And it's just, I don't want to. I mean, yeah, look, the only thing I want to see Mark Calloway do now is wrestle Sting. And that's it. You know? And that actually came out during the week that the reason it didn't happen, Martin, do you know the reason why that match never happened?
I assume either Triple H or Vince.
No, it's Vince. Vince 100% Vince. Just didn't want that. He didn't want that to happen, and that's why it didn't happen. Can you believe that? I mean, that is...
Now that you say it's Vince, I absolutely can believe it. Vince literally gets off on not giving wrestling fans the thing they want.
Literally, no. It was like, I think Taker actually said it. The only reason it didn't happen is because Vince didn't want it to happen. And it was just like, that's so petty. For no reason. It's just like money that he just walks away from.
It's the WCW thing. 20 years later, he still had never let it go. You know, like, so he wouldn't see, because he didn't make Sting, he wouldn't see Sting as on the same level, you know, as The Undertaker.
It's so silly. It really is. I mean, look, we're not going to get into it because we have gotten into the past, but it's sad that what happened now with Vince didn't happen sooner, where something forced him to leave and, you know, have someone who actually isn't the crazy man running it.
Yeah. You know? I still maintain that all that stuff was deliberately leaked in order to get him off the board.
Look, probably. But the thing about it is, like, sure of an act of God where God literally comes down and removes him, you know, I thought that's what it was going to take, you know, but it's like, it's a shame something like didn't happen sooner, where Triple H would be like, oh, okay, we can kind of fix it, because you can see the change in the product, and even like the regret with some of the wrestlers, like going, yeah, we, like, you see, like, it's weird. I don't want to get into this too much, but you see it with the invasion angle, or you've seen it for the past 20 years where people are like, oh, we should have done this. Now the same thing has happened with Sting, where it's like, goodness, or Bray Wyatt's career in general. Like, Bray Wyatt's career in general is like, oh, man, I really, really messed that one up. It's like,
there's a documentary coming out about him soon that
there is,
I think you'll be very, very pleased with.
I went back and actually started looking over some of the matches, you know, like the decline and the Fiend, like the Hell in a Cell match and stuff. And it's like, how did you do this? How did you just mess this up so badly? You know, it really is. It's going to be, mark my words, Martin, it's going to be studied in colleges someday. They're going to be like, here you go, folks. This is how to destroy a wrestling angle. But this is a business college. Yes, exactly. It's how to not make money. But yeah, folks, you're welcome to the Wrestling Rewind, of course. My name is Dara O'Connor, and I'm joined by the one and all, the only, Mr. Martin Hardy. How are you, Martin?
Oh, yes. Welcome back for part two of my Undertaker's legendary WrestleMania legacy. When am I ever going to get to do it again?
Well, I mean, he just show up sometimes in your house.
Oh, God, yeah. Like, oh, something to look forward to.
Exactly, and we could watch a random episode of the Attitude Era where he just shows up and does weird stuff.
He actually shows up in a couple of these matches as well.
He does, and then they bury him in cement for some reason. Which is never addressed again. It's just like, yeah, that happened.
Yeah, I'd be kind of interested to see the aftermath of that, to see how the... sort of got around, or maybe they just did the old WWE thing and just pretend it never happened.
No, they never mentioned it again. That was it. He was gone. I think he did actually die in real life then. That was the last time he was on WWE television.
Ah, because he died before the Punk match.
Yeah, he did. He died before the Punk match. Yeah, and yeah. I think it was 2006 when they did that angle. 2006 or 2009. I don't really remember. It's weird. That angle was like with the Dudley Boys. What a waste. What an absolute waste. I'm sorry, look, I like the Dudley Boys, but what an absolute waste that was. To just kill Paul Bearer with a random match with the Dudley Boys.
But to kill him.
Not to kill him. Like, absolutely just like dead. Like, literally, not only kill
fire him,
but like,
or get him out of the company, or even like, you know, the way Taker used to do. Kind of mysterious thing. Someone would go into a coffin and then disappear, or be buried alive and then disappear. But no, fully, we saw the box filled with cement. Like, dude's dead. Dude's dead as the boss man at the Hell in a Cell.
No, the boss man came back and he was on Heath for ages, and it was really upsetting. But anyway, okay. So last week we didn't end with the Big Boss Man, which would have been a sad ending. We ended with a much more sad ending. A-Train and the Big Show. Oh, so tragic. And Nathan Jones. And oh, man. Nathan Jones. I'd love to interview him and just be like, why? What happened? Why did you do this? What did you think was going to happen? You know.
Well, as we discovered last week, talking about him, you know, he has his acting career and his huge bags of money to console him. So,
yeah, but no, what I'm saying is, like, that's all well and good. And look, I have no problem with that. But why didn't he do that first?
Yeah.
Why did he do the other thing? Like, objectively, the harder thing, which is like professional wrestling. I don't know. It's just, he didn't seem like he needed it. It didn't benefit him in any way. In fact, it hindered him, probably.
I don't think some people realize how difficult pro wrestling is. And I think they agree to do it. Yeah, no, fake fight. Yeah, I'll do that, surely. And yeah, I don't think they realize what it actually is they're getting in for.
His career took off when he stopped wrestling.
Yeah.
Which is it's insane. It's like, that was a hint. Like, I think you can draw a direct line from when he was doing the bodybuilding thing and then like this massive dip. And then the minute he's like, you know what? This isn't for me. He goes right back up and movie star.
Yeah. Well, this is the man who was so bad at wrestling that Vince McMahon, who booked a feud with the Giant Gonzalez, didn't want him on his show. That's how bad he was.
He can't even do a big boot.
He can't even do. Couldn't even do the Giant's awkward, weird robot selling. You know, where he did that kind of
so
like...
bad, so bad. So look, the reason why we started doing this, the reason why we wanted to do this topic was because while the streak has this mystique, and it is like really, really cool. It's unlike anything else that's in wrestling. It's purely standalone and it will never be topped, and it is just its own thing, right?
Yeah.
A lot of these matches are really bad. Really bad.
Yeah, well, a lot of them were. We're for the second half now, we're getting into the in-ring quality.
That's true, but the thing with it is like,
increases.
I think the best match that we saw so far from 1 to 11 was actually the Diesel match.
I was going to say Diesel, yeah.
The Diesel match. So it's like, and that's one thing that I'm really glad we did this, because I wouldn't have actually gone back to watch that one, because it's like,
no.
Undertaker and Diesel, Kevin Nash is not going to be bothering. No, well, it turns out, no, but he actually was like, yeah, I want to work today. And he went down and had this amazing match with Taker.
In fact, I won't say which, but there's a match in this half, in the second half, that I was like, wow, this really reminded me of the Diesel match in like a really good way.
Okay, well, look, when we come to like bring it up, because I'm interested to know that.
Yeah.
So the first one is a kind of rematch, a WrestleMania rematch. So in the streak, there are some WrestleMania rematches. There's a few with Shawn, a few with Triple H. Three with Triple H, but one they never actually mentioned, so I'm not sure if that's canon or not, which is kind of funny. And then the most like lesser known really is Kane. Now, you think Kane would have been in more of these matches. I don't really understand what he didn't do in a Inferno match at some point, because as we talked about last time, they did do an Inferno match after the first time, 2 months later on a random Unforgiven pay-per-view that nobody watched except me.
The other thing that hit me when I was going through this, how was one of these matches not with Mick Foley?
That's true. Well, I mean, I can actually answer that. I can actually answer that.
Go on.
Timing.
It's
timing. I was talking to, when I was interviewing Stone Cold Steve Austin a couple of years ago, I asked him a very similar question. Why he never worked with Undertaker at WrestleMania. I will post that interview at some point. And I asked him, and I was like, look, how come you never worked with Taker? Considering the fact that he was one of your main rivals. And basically, he just said timing. Because when you think about it, like, WrestleMania loops around and it's their big story. And Mick Foley's like real kind of peak was like late 1998, early 1999, 2000. And then he was like gone.
Yeah.
Like, when you think about it, he was like, and Taker was out for all of 2000. 2001, he was off being the American Badass, but only showed up. He was still there, but he wasn't orbiting Mick Foley. Mick Foley was retired then. So the only time the Taker actually could have done this, and I think they probably, like, where the stars would have aligned here, WrestleMania 2000.
Or, like, one of the earlier ones, maybe, you know, like 90. One of the, when he was still the, you know, the brown clothes Mankind.
Well,
the original version of Mankind.
So Mankind came in 1996.
Yeah, would have had been almost straight away.
Yeah, and the only gap I can actually see is Psycho Sid. Yeah, that would have been an objectively better match. But then they would have had to put the belt on either Undertaker or Mick Foley, and they wouldn't have done that at that point. So the only gap here I can see where that would have happened is WrestleMania in Philadelphia with the Big Boss Man. Now remember, Mick Foley could have been in there, but he was too busy off being a referee for some reason. So that's why he wasn't there. And WrestleMania 2000, where it actually could have happened, Mick Foley was retired and came back to have the worst match of his career. So this is just a victim of timing, really. And it's the same with why we didn't get an Austin Undertaker match. Because, I mean, like, that's one thing that I would have expected to see. Honestly.
Yeah.
Because when you're looking at, like, I think the second half of the streak turns into a booked
streak,
a booked streak, but also, like, they actually tell a story with, like, his actual rivals, which is why the match, well, for the most part, I mean, Mark Henry's pretty weird, but, like, we'll get to that. You know, it's there's reasons for the matches happening. Up onto this point, they're just like, Taker, so we have this match with Snooker.
WrestleMania, get Undertaker on the card.
Yeah, quick, give him 7 minutes, go out there and fall around a bit. And that's kind of, that's the reason why it's so, not lackluster at the beginning, but very, like, random. You know, it's just like, yeah, look, okay, King Kong Bundy, yeah, great, go out there. Compared to once they kind of get over the A-Train thing, I think that's the real Rubicon, where they're like, okay, you need to actually work on this.
It's appropriate we're starting off this week with Kane, because for me, last week, the match with Kane was when it really started to feel like The Undertaker at WrestleMania.
Yes.
Because it had
with the entrance and all that kind of stuff,
pomp, the ceremony, the theatrics. It had the big storyline with the Mystery Brother. It had, you know.
I have a question for you, actually. On WrestleMania in general, with Undertaker, would you be a fan of Undertaker coming out every year and just being The Undertaker?
What, like, literally just do the entrance? And
yeah, like, because, I mean, that's what everybody wants anyway.
I wouldn't do it every year, because then it just becomes an expected part of the show. But if there's a reason, if every couple of years there's a reason, you know,
Would there be for Undertaker to randomly showing up?
Someone's going into the Hall of Fame.
Okay.
Or he, you know, they're doing some tournament or some belt or whatever, and he's presenting it. Or if they could come up with a reason, but just have him coming out to do the entrance, I think you'd very quickly normally, or even, like, not even present it. And let's say it's the 30th anniversary of his first appearance, or it's the, you know, whatever many years since he retired, you know, you could come up with reasons to bring him in to do the big entrance every few years.
Oh, I think that's fair. I still think having Undertaker as part of a WrestleMania makes sense. Just not wrestling. Like, the man is, one thing that I noticed from watching these matches as well, right? Even though some of them are actually legitimately probably best matches he's ever had. Like, three of these are legitimately his greatest matches. Hands down, right? Absolutely hands down. There's not even close. I mean, the one with Shawn Michaels in WrestleMania 25 is probably the greatest WWE match of all time, right? Absolutely. I think most people will agree on that. That's not a controversial take. However, even if the matches were garbage, by the time the streak ends, not actually ends with Brock Lesnar, but was on the path to ending. Let's say CM Punk ended it, right? It didn't matter. Because Undertaker was so far beyond matches that it didn't really matter. Brock Lesnar, I think, did a bit more damage to it because he made it, for want of a better word, real. While his feud with Punk was, you know, that entrance with all the hands and stuff. That's class.
That's my number one Undertaker entrance.
Oh, absolutely. But, I mean, it didn't matter if he won or not. It didn't matter if he wrestled. It wouldn't matter if he went to the shop after it. You know, it was like...
Well, I think back then, I think people were still attached to the streak, you know?
And that's fair.
Why there was such a huge reaction when Lesnar ended it.
Yeah, you're probably right. I think they're leaving some money on the table by not having Undertaker come out and, like, just be part of the show. Cause, like,
I'm sure he will. Like,
well, you know, in WCW, for a while, like, Sting didn't wrestle. I know this isn't an angle where I have Undertaker, I'm booking Undertaker versus Sting. I mean, it just so happens to work perfectly, but I didn't mean for it to happen on purpose. Sting would just hang out in the rafters.
Yeah, but he was, there was an end to it event, even though he was injured for that time, there was an end to it eventually.
Not really, man. He would just be there. You know, it's kind of like, you know, to an extent, yeah, but like, you can do it. Like, it's like, oh, it's WrestleMania. Well, we have.
I think you could 100% do it. You just need to come up with a reason. That's it. And if it's.
King of a Mountain match.
Yeah.
I know.
You have to claim the Undertaker and put the belt back on the hook.
No, the Undertaker hands you the belt. And then you have to hang it back up yourself. Yeah, look, as I said, the fact that The Undertaker did the entrance for like a football match randomly in like Saudi Arabia, it's like, obviously he doesn't care that much. He'll still do it, you know? And I think we'll still get a pop. Like if you did it even every 5 years or 2 years, you get a map pop.
100% get a pop. Because even if you're watching it at home and you're like, oh, I've seen this thing every year now for 5 years, I have no doubt that when you're in the building or in the stadium and the lights go down and that organ music hits and the smoke comes up and the druids come out, like, I have no doubt it's just incredible.
Well, here's how you do it, right? One, you get them off a streaming platform because that's a kayfabe killer.
That's just removing all the mystique, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it's a kayfabe.
You could see him walking down. Undertaker does his next entrance walking down to the ring with a selfie stick.
Yeah, it's just like, okay, you're like, okay, listen, Mark, you need to stop that. You're going back to being Undertaker now. So that's the first thing I would do, right?
So this is what it's like when my music hits. As you can see, I'm walking down here. There's the crowd. There's the druids. Actually, this druid's my brother-in-law. So
that needs to go. But what I'd say is it's like, the way you do it, and I won't spend too much time on this, but it is just something that I was considering and just kind of like, oh, that's pretty cool. The way you do it is, it's like, Jim Ross used to call him the conscience of the WWE, right? If you just have him as like a presence where he just is there, like, remember when they did the Money in the Bank in WWE headquarters and Undertaker had a room in there?
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's goofy and silly. But it's also like they've already like established that the Undertaker character does actually just hang out in WWE headquarters. So you can just have him like at WrestleMania. That's where he is.
I can see him, yeah, as some sort of maybe not authority figure. But
no, like a conscience.
Conscience or an enforcer or something like.
No, not an enforcer because it can't be like, he can't be physical, you know, because the whole point is even if he's an owlad, he can do a spoopy magic for like the next 20 years where he just goes, bleh, and, you know, flames or something happens. Because you have the future proof. This is called the Bray Wyatt approach, right? Where you're like, it's brilliant until it gets to a ring. Then it collapses completely. So that's what I would do. I would just have him as like, you know, he shows up maybe every 2 years or whatever. And if there's a big angle or whatever, he kind of like, just say there's like, in interference with me, shows up, the lights go off, does the entrance, and then like fires lightning. Look, some people are like, Dara, this is crazy. Maybe, but he does fire lightning. He did it for like 2 years on Raw. They've established he has powers. We're not adding to this, you know?
Got them lightning fingers.
He does. Right, anyway. Moving on to that random tangent. We need to be better. That got off on tangent. So Kane was the first like return match. It was his first second in the series. It was kind of this match has grown on me. I didn't like it when I saw it initially because I went back to watch this because I wasn't watching wrestling at the time, or I was watching TNA at the time, but I wasn't watching WWE. And I went back to watch this one, and I went back to watch the Randy Orton one after the fact. And it's cool because it brings back the Undertaker, like the actual dead man.
This is the return of the dead man character after Kane buried Biker Taker alive at Survivor Series.
Correct. And it's weird because Undertaker's deal, I don't know if you ever grown your hair out, but we always used to say, or still, like, you know, if you cut your hair, we call it the awkward phase. We used to call it that when you're in school. And even still, you know, I've grown my hair like out like 4 or 5 times in my life. And this was... the awkward stage is the worst. And that's where he's at now, where it's like, oh man, he can't even tie it back. It just looks terrible.
He's at peak awkward stage. So yeah. This is the first time people have seen the proper dead man entrance in 3 or 4 years. It's against Kane. The entrance is phenomenal. It's one of the best. We get to the best later. Got the Druids, comes down, the music, everything's amazing. And then he gets in the ring and he takes the hat off and he's got a Karen bob.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's the worst. It's like, for anyone who's ever done it, for men specifically, I know women face it too, but they don't often cut their hair short as often as men would. There is like that awkward stage where once you get through it, you're fine. But yeah, you have a Karen bob for a while and it's just...
It's your hair. It's your hair's puberty.
It takes so much away from it. It's like, oh. But again, unfortunately, it's a victim of time. You know, they needed this WrestleMania match. They had to get it. And it's just...
Yeah.
It's just so weird. And for the longest time, I was doing like, why does this match sit with me awkwardly? And I think it is just something as silly as that. Because when it flashes back to Taker next year in 21, he's fine.
he's fine. What I don't get is that, like, they had Kane wearing, you know, like a fake burn stuff for ages. Yeah. They used to bring Tensai in and or Prince Albert or whatever his name was and paint all over him. Like, you telling me they couldn't put extensions in the Undertaker's hair? Like, really discreet? You know?
It's probably just too warm. He's like, no, I'm not doing that. That doesn't work for me today, brother.
The match itself, like you say, is fine. It's decent. It's fine. I enjoyed it. But this match was all about the return of the dead man character.
I honestly thought you were going to say this match is all about the Undertaker's hair.
This one, when the entrance, I was like, this match is all about the return of the dead man character. Then he takes the hat off and he's like, the hair. This match is all about the Bob, the Karen Bob. The Undertaker wants to speak to the manager.
Yeah, it's weird. It's just you know, I understand he kind of had to get there, and it's just kind of unfortunate. But it's just like watching it now. It's weird because it's like it's Kane maskless, which is a weird look anyway. And then it's the Undertaker looking so completely different, but so familiar. It's just very jarring. The match itself is good to great, but. Yeah. It's one of the weirdest periods of the Undertaker.
It's way better than like a lot of the ones we did last week, a lot of the early matches,
Okay, so the next one is with Randy Orton. So this is 13-0, right? So Randy Orton, it's the first time that the streak has been explicitly challenged to her. So obviously Randy Orton was doing his legend killer at this point. He had taken out everybody from Ric Flair to Mick Foley to some of the horsemen, blah, blah, blah. I think he even took out Dusty Rhodes at one point. That sounds like something that happened.
No, I think I remember, yeah.
Did he? Yeah, that makes sense. So yeah, Randy Orton had taken out all these, and he was like,
yes, because there was a thing with Dusty and Cowboy Bob Orton as well.
That's true. And Kev, yes. And who's in this match as well. And basically, Orton's like, look, I want a challenge for the streak. And it's the first time that that challenge was laid down, even though it was acknowledged by the whole press around Ric Flair. I think Rick even brought it up. This kind of changed the dynamic. So while the WrestleMania before, Kane was like, I just want to beat you because, you know, that's what we do. Randy Orton's like, no, I actually want to beat you because it means something. And this changes the dynamic from WrestleMania 23 on. But the question I have for you, Martin, is, right, the weirdest streak match post it being acknowledged happens in WrestleMania 22 with Mark Henry. Why do you think they went with Mark Henry, and why do you think it was a casket match?
I assume it was a casket match because they thought Undertaker versus Mark Henry, that's not setting the world on fire. This needs a gimmick to sell it. So what you're advertising then isn't even Undertaker versus Mark Henry, it's Undertaker in a casket match. You're kind of selling that more than who he's actually across the ring from. Why it was Mark Henry, I mean, I don't know. Mark Henry was on a kind of a bit of an upswing at that stage. He'd gotten himself in really good shape again. And look, maybe it's like we were talking earlier about Austin. Maybe it's like we're talking about Mankind. Maybe it's just timing. Maybe there was everyone else was either doing something or was injured or, you know.
It's extremely underwhelming. Like, no disrespect to Mark Henry, but
it's actually I enjoyed the match. Look, it's a fairly
straightforward
match, and for the latter half, for this side of the streak, it's one of the shorter ones.
And it's very short.
Do you know what I think it was? I think maybe it kind of reminded me of the very early Undertaker WrestleMania matches were every year he was just he would do like a short power squash against like whoever the monster was at the time, you know, King Kong Bundy, Jake the Snake, you know, like Henry as a huge, powerful guy kind of fits into that. So I wouldn't rate it in the top five or whatever. But I quite enjoyed the Mark Henry match.
And a casket match, it's like one of the odd factors about the streak is it's very often just a singles match. I think it's one of like a handful of actual like gimmick matches.
Yeah. I think the other thing I liked about it was that it reminded me a lot. This wasn't a WrestleMania match, but it reminded me a lot of The Undertaker's casket match with Kamala. And I wish they had gone back to this, but that was back when The Undertaker was doing the gimmick where he would make the coffins for his opponents, and they would do videos of him like, you know, planing the wood and setting it up, and he was like the coffin for Kamala, double deep, double wide, and it just because they had to have such a huge coffin for Mark Henry kind of reminded me of the Kamala one. So I think the reason I liked it was because so many aspects of it reminded me of the early Undertaker.
So you had to get a streaming setup. That's why you couldn't. But you had to learn them computer knowledge for the future. So he couldn't make the coffins anymore.
Zach, I don't need to make these coffins. I can just order them on Amazon.
So the next match is one of, so not only is the casket match the only casket match that we had during the streak and a handful of like gimmick matches, but the next two are the only two times that the World Heavyweight title were actually on the line. I know we had a WWF Championship match, but that's only three out of the 21 matches where he actually won. Were actually for the belt. which is crazy, really, when you think about it. I mean, the streak had so much value in 2007 that it was worthy of, like, and 2008, where it was worthy of a WrestleMania main event slot, where Taker actually won. Taker was the world champion coming out of WrestleMania 2 years in a row.
I think what they were trying to do at this stage is they were like, okay, we have the streak. It's really hot right now. Everybody loves it. But in order for these matches not to be predictable, we need to up the ante. We need to put the idea in people's minds that he could lose. So, you know, you do things like, you have Orton with his legend killer gimmick. So, oh, they're putting him against Orton in the middle of this really over legend killer gimmick. Or you have like a Batista, like you say, with the belt. You put the belt on the line. It's like, oh, I don't see Taker losing, but also I don't see them taking the belt off Batista. That's, you know, I think it's just, they were just trying to find ways to maintain the streak, but also put that 1% of doubt in people's minds so that the outcome wasn't like definite.
And I don't think they actually got that to a T until Shawn Michaels. Because the Shawn Michaels match from WrestleMania 25 kind of came out of nowhere. Like the first one kind of came out of nowhere. And it was, I remember watching it for the first time. I mean, like, oh, this isn't like anything else.
And that kind of ties in because, like you were saying, the first one was Michaels going, I know I can beat you. And the second one was Michaels putting his career on the line.
Yes.
So again, just giving people a little something extra to think, maybe this is the year that the streak's in jeopardy.
But the first time was like, it was more kind of like, Shawn Michaels just wants to beat The Undertaker because he hasn't done it.
Yeah.
And then the next year it was like, okay, well, he's going to put his career up. And then I never expected him to actually win that one.
I'll tell you, just before we move on to them, because I said I'd bring it up, the Batista one is the one that I thought was very like the Diesel match.
Yeah, that's very, very true. Even the ending of it as well is so like the Diesel match. Yeah, you're spot on.
It was just two huge guys just throwing bombs. Like, they just battered each other in this. It was big moves, big punches. I loved that power slam from one commentary table through the next commentary table.
Phenomenal.
There was just something about it that kept reminding me of the Diesel match. The only thing about it I didn't like was that I think this is where Michael Cole develops his lifelong obsession with saying, The Undertaker, the best pure striker in the game.
Oh, God, yeah.
I have to listen to that phrase from now until the end of this podcast about 50 goddamn times.
Yeah, I don't think that's necessarily his line. I think it's just something Vince is screaming in his ear.
Say the striker line.
But yeah, look, I thought that match was really good. The Edge match was less good, longer. But I thought working in Hell's Gates was like a much more interesting ending. Because like we've seen the Tombstone, we saw some of the gimmick stuff, we saw the hanging. But
gotta
get the hanging in. But Taker actually working in that jiu-jitsu, changing his style kind of thing, that was really cool. Now, Taker was one of the first people to actually like legitimately do that. That isn't Tank Abbott, and isn't a joke. Like Hell's Gate was super over, and once it was locked in, it was locked in.
Great.
So that was a really cool way to end it. And look, I mean, Edge was a major heel at that point, so it didn't really damage him at all to tap out the Taker.
No, not that. And like he got locked in it, and he didn't. It's not like he tapped out straight away. Like he struggled for it. I also really enjoyed seeing. I'd forgotten all about them. The Edgeheads.
Yes, Zack Ryder running
in the middle of this match. I was like, oh, now I want to like go back and just watch all the Edgehead stuff.
Well, it's a Zack Ryder and Kurt Hawkins.
Yeah. Oh,
too funny. Too funny. Okay, so look, we kind of touched on this briefly. So the two Shawn Michaels match, obviously I agree with most people that WrestleMania 25 is their better match.
Oh, yeah, so I was going to ask what you think it is.
Yeah, I think it's 25. Like, 26 is still really, really good, but there is a lot of... So I just want to say the bad stuff first, because it's rarely said. There's a lot of retreading with the second match.
Yeah.
You know, Shawn doesn't look like he's winning this one as much as he did a year earlier. He's a lot slower. He's a lot more beaten down. Like, I mean, Shawn Michaels doesn't look like the HBK of literally even a year ago. He's like, he's more Ric Flair than he is HBK. You know? And obviously that's the point, but it takes so much away from the match when you're watching Shawn Michaels and you're like, ah, this is Shawn Michaels. You know?
I think for me, I preferred the first one as well. I thought it had a wee bit more life to it. I loved the ending. I preferred the booking of it.
Yeah,
I thought the second one was very good, really good. But yeah, it kind of felt like, I think when you're going to redo something, you have to kind of up the ante somehow. You have to outdo the previous one. This one was just as good as the previous one, which, you know, like, for a sequel, you're like, yeah, it was great, but I've seen that before. And the reason I think I prefer the other one is that the ending to this one is Michaels going full ham, you know, on his acting, like on the, you know, when he's like crawling up the Undertaker's legs and he's like being all wobbly and he won't quit and all. I think he just hammed that up a little too much for me to buy it. But again, it's, you know, when you're talking about these matches, in order to distinguish one from the other, you're quibbling, really. Like, they're both excellent.
Yeah, it's up in the ante. Unfortunately, the streaker, they're just kind of like, oh yeah, we can just retire people. It's like, oh, that's not upping the ante like you think it is. That's just facilitating something you wanted to do anyway. I think the way they did it with Triple H, where they ignored the first match, which is still bizarre, genuinely. I mean, I just don't know why they did that. But
so the X7 match, they don't...
Yeah, they don't mention it at all.
Weird, because it's not like it's like a... It was decent. It's not like...
Yeah,
it's,
it was a good match. They
like
just don't
mention some terrible thing that, you know, when something's awful, WWF kind of just overlooks it, pretend it didn't happen. No, it was a decent match.
It's just funny that, like, I remember watching it the first time and they never mentioned it. I was like, that was weird. And going back and watching it, like, yeah, they really go out of their way to be like, this is the first time this ever happened. It's like, no, it's not. No, it's not. And then just like, okay, I guess it is. But it is 10 WrestleManias from the last meeting. Like, to the T.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, maybe...
In the run-up to the... In the run-up to the first Michaels match, do you remember, did, like, Weekly TV, did it, like, reference their previous matches? Because the last time they were on a pay-per-view match together, it was the real old-style Undertaker. I think it was Royal Rumble or something. It was where Michaels got injured, falling on the coffin.
On the casket, yeah. It was Royal Rumble, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, look, I think it's they wanted, like, the fresh canvas. And the story they were telling... Shawn Michaels and Undertaker were telling, like, Shawn could never beat The Undertaker. Well, Triple H, the story he was telling with Undertaker was, I'll do anything to beat The Undertaker. And they're very different stories, but it does kind of irk me a little bit, because obviously we have the no-holds-barred match, which ends with a submission, which is, you know, again, like the Edge match, very good. And then up the ante by having a Hell in a Cell match with Shawn Michaels as the referee. Now, I prefer the first meeting. I think these back-to-back matches they lose originality points. They retread, but not only do they retread, it's kind of like, well, you know Undertaker's going to win, so what's the point in it? You know, like Triple H wasn't retiring. He was just like, oh, well, I guess it's embarrassing to lose to The Undertaker twice. Even though it's been three times. you know, it's just, it's, I like the Hell in a Cell being brought back, because this is the first time, sorry, this is like, just after it got nearly overused and just before it became Match in a Cage, where
this appears for me, the second match,
yeah,
could have happened without this. It veers it very could've. Much into Match in a Cell.
Yeah, exactly. And also The Undertaker has that weird mullet, which does him no favors. But look, I mean, he had to. I guess this just. It just sits weird with me because it's not a bad match. It's just not a good match. You know, as you said, the Cell could have, like, they could have had this match with anything. It didn't need the Cell. The view of everything is obscured. I don't think I'm going to say this now. I don't think Hell in a Cell matches should be at WrestleMania.
I think so, yeah.
I don't think so. I think it does more damage than good.
I think a Hell in a Cell match has to depend on the feud. It has to be used very sporadically. And the main thing about it is that whoever's going into it has to be willing to do something nuts. Like, the Hell in a Cell has to be the end of a blood feud. And like, you completely lose its aura when you have a match in a cell. Like, two guys who agree to, and I mean like, not in kayfabe, I mean like backstage saying, oh yeah, the feud needs this. Two guys who agree to do a cell match need to have something really spectacular in mind. I'll tell you what I did really like about the cell match was, though, in terms of trying to put the 1% of doubt into people's mind that the streak is over, even though I knew what the finish of this was, even though I know it was in the end, I still got like half a pop out of the super kick into the pedigree.
Yes.
Awesome spot.
Great
phenomenal spot. And but even though I know he kicks out, I'm still looking at him going, oh my God, it's over.
It is a match of one spot, though. That's the thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the whole match builds up to that. It's weird. It's just a strange WrestleMania. Like, WrestleMania, this year wasn't too like impactful. It's before they got really kind of poor there in the mid 2010s. I would have rather this been one match, you know, like, yeah, it was a Hell in a Cell from the beginning. But I get why they did it. It still counts up the win for Taker, and then leads into where the streak kind of comes back and rejuvenates itself. And funny enough, it's with CM Punk.
Yeah.
Punk has one of Undertaker's best matches.
Yeah, not just one of his best matches, one of his best matches from start to finish.
Yeah, bell to bell.
This is, oh, even before the bells, this is, for me, Undertaker's best entrance. And that's...
best entrance, hands down. Hands
that's saying
down.
A lot. Like, that's hands saying down. A lot. Punk gets a pretty cool entrance with Cult of Personality being played live. He is an amazing, spiteful, snarling, vicious little weasel of a heel in this match. Like, he's brilliant.
He is brilliant
at it. Obviously, the story for this is incredible because it's in real life. Paul Bearer died, and Punk comes out and starts like slagging the Undertaker about Paul Bearer. Obviously, they got like permission from the family and all that to do it. But it's and like you say, it's so different from the previous, like, you know, the two Triple H matches, like the big legacy matches, the two Michaels matches or big legacy matches. This, yeah, kind of feels refreshing. And it's a very different kind of match.
It feels more what the streak kind of should have been and settled itself into around the midpoint. You know, like when you start off, you have your, you know, Batista, your Randy Orton, your Edge. And I think that's when the streak was the strongest, you know, as far as like impact. And it's weird to say, because I mean, objectively, in a true statement, the best match is the Shawn Michaels WrestleMania 25 match, right? But having the appeal of a newer star, working it into and getting the rub from the program, it has more of a believability long term. Because Shawn Michaels had a one and beat the streak. You're like, why? He's done everything. I mean, there was no reason for him to beat the end of the streak.
Yeah, but you could see like them going, oh, imagine the heat Punk would get if he like cheats his way.
Edge or Batista or Randy.
The other thing about it is, whenever I think of the streak, you know, you think 21-0, even though it's not, you kind of picture 21 different opponents in your head, but really it's only like, what would it be, 14?
There are a lot of
Shawn Michaels, two Kanes. Are there any other repeats?
Let me see.
Not sure. But yeah, so again, this this felt quite fresh.
And I guess like we have in the 6 minutes we have left, the streak does end.
It does.
And it ends not with a bang, but with a whimper, with a concussion.
What a pity.
And it really is a pity. I'll be honest with you, I don't know why they did this. Brock Lesnar was not the guy to do it because, I mean, Brock didn't care. He just didn't. And Undertaker was broken down at this point.
He didn't need it.
He didn't need it either, no. Look, there is the thing that Undertaker wanted him to have it for some reason, for respect or whatever, but you know who would have benefited from having the streak lost to him?
I mean, Punk, but Bray
Wyatt.
Wow. Yes. Bray Wyatt.
I think about it. If they hadn't moved up that match that happened at WrestleMania 31 to 30, and Bray Wyatt ended the streak, that would have been a passing of the torch in a literal way. They could have had a torch that he literally picks up, you know? And how I would have done it, Bray Wyatt versus Undertaker, Sting interferes, cost him the match. No, seriously. Cost Undertaker the match, and then you have Undertaker and Sting. Year later as the rubber match, and they can both retire. That's how I would have done it.
So that's how you would have done it, but a separate question.
Sure.
The streak, if it was up to you, would you have ended it at all?
Only to Bray Wyatt.
Yeah, so very, like it had to be the absolute right.
It had to be I defy anybody to tell me who could have benefited from it that isn't Bray Wyatt. I'm not saying that because, look, I love Bray Wyatt. I thought he was, like, I made no bones about that. He's one of my favorite wrestlers. He's not my favorite wrestler as The Fiend from a character standpoint, but that would have made him instantly the biggest heel in the company. And he could have done anything after that. But the streak shouldn't have ended with Brock Lesnar. He did not need it. And what made it worse, actually, I'll let you in now in a second, man. What made it worse was Undertaker kept going. He's still at WrestleMania for the next couple of years. And it's like, well, what's the point in it? You should have just kept it going. Go on, sorry.
And they get progressively worse and worse and worse.
And then they get better. And then they get better. The Boneyard match I do like. I do like the Boneyard.
But that's not a match. That's like...
You know, it's a lot of fun, though. Lot of fun.
Yeah, but it's not a match. Like, I mean, this... I can see why it was Lesnar. I mean, like, they were pushing him as, like, this absolute powerhouse. Do you know what? The fact is, it ended, and it ended the way it did. I think the real pity is that early on in the match, Undertaker either gets a concussion or gets his bell rung or gets some sort of really hard blow to the head, and you can see that he has lost the match. Like, not lost as in he's not going to win. He's lost where he is in the match. Yeah. Like, it becomes, from this point on, it becomes very muddled. You know, they're really not gelling. You know, they're not, the two guys aren't clicking. You start to see a lot more, like, a lot of the botches that we would come to associate with, you know, latter day Undertaker. It's just a pity that it went out this way. But look, the thing is that Taker was so over and the streak was so over that they were going to keep bringing him back and keep bringing him back, and this was inevitably how it was going to end. Like, time happens us all. Like, he was never going to be the Undertaker forever, you know?
I disagree. They found out how to do it at WrestleMania 36.
Six years later.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying to you. Like, they actually did figure out how to actually do it, but the problem was, it's 6 years too late. The streak.
But the other problem with the, like, you could have extended the Undertaker's career by another 5 years by having him only work Mania and only do cinematic matches, but then you're missing out. When you do cinematic matches, you're missing out on the biggest part of the Undertaker, which is the entrance.
You just do the entrance and then go to the video.
Undertaker does the entrance, comes out into the ring, and there's a chair, and he sits down, sits down and hits play, and he watches it on the Titantron. He could do like a running commentary on his Twitch. He could be like, "Oh, I remember when we filmed that. It was very funny. As one of the tech guys actually got food poisoning." Oh.
I mean, when you put it that way, I was thinking they would integrate it in some way that wouldn't be just a chair and like a microphone. And he's like, "Oh, look at this." It's funny, actually. I saw a couple of years ago, I was at a premiere for Death Proof. And Quentin Tarantino was in the audience. And he is the worst man to watch a movie with, because all he does, he's like, guys, top of his voice, guys, this movie's awesome. Check this bit out. And you're like, please shut up. I'm trying to watch the movie, Quentin. So that's what's in my head right now. But Martin, we are going to have a leave it there. We have hit time. Is there anything you want to plug before we get out of here?
No, just like I said, Dara's away next week. Dara, officially the third best Taekwondoist on the planet, I'll have you know.
Thank you. As of today.
Madman flew out, battered a load of lads, took a medal, flew back, did the podcast. Lunatic.
That's true. I literally got in like half an hour before we recorded.
Absolute lunatic. But no, so we're not in next week because of WrestleMania and Everton. So just everybody, you know, enjoy the week. Enjoy the WrestleMania week. There's loads on around it. There's a brilliant Ring of Honor pay-per-view I can't wait to see on the Friday. But everybody, enjoy the WrestleMania week. It's a big festival thing, so yeah.
And we will be doing something. The best thing to do is keep an eye on the social media, because that is where we'll be announcing it. And I haven't talked to Dave yet, but we're touring in the three-man booth at some point for some WrestleMania something over the WrestleMania weekend. That's all I know so far, because that's how far we plan ahead, folks. It's only 2 weeks away, and that's as firm of a plan as I can give you. But again, the best thing you can do is go over to thewrestlingrewind.com, follow us on all the social media, tell your friends, spread the word about the podcast, check out, obviously, all the past shows. We have a bunch of them. They're all up for free. And thank you for checking us out here on Phoenix 92.5 FM, the True Penny Channel. And we'll be back next week. We'll be back next week, because there will be something on Phoenix FM and there'll be something on the True Penny Channel. But we'll be back live with new content for WrestleMania. So we'll talk to you then, guys. Bye.
Thank you for listening to a Nerd to Know Media production.